What's up, boy?
What's good?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Ricky Henderson Mikey. Going crazy right now, man. Come on now.
Yeah. Boy, Mikey Winfield in here.
Right there, that far one.
Performing at the Punchline this weekend. We'll bring Mikey up here onto the screen as he gets settled. What's up, man?
Hey, you know what? Hey, life is amazing. How's it going? What's going on?
Vibes are always up when Mikey comes through,
every
man.
Time, man. Ten times out of ten.
Let me tell you about this weekend already. I've sold more tickets before I got here than I've ever sold for an entire weekend.
Come on now.
Wow.
Life is good.
Is this your first full stretch at the Punchline in a while? Like, I know you've done nights before.
No, you're right. As far as the weekend goes, yeah, it's been a few years since I've done a full weekend at the Punchline.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and then when I talk about we got a show lined up, you know, we got some fire. Like, I'm happy to be, you know, do my thing as I am. But, man, we got a little mini impromptu roast set up, you know, with some comedians popping in, man.
Okay.
We even got a DEI hire, man. We threw a white dude on there. Just so you know.
I don't know if you heard. DEI is done.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to do that.
We don't even need the white dude.
Make it all black. Oh,
Josh, you're fired.
Sorry, Chad. We don't need you tonight.
Okay. We good.
Wait, who's the roast for?
Well, here's the thing, man. It's my birthday. So typically,
yes, sir.
In past birthday weekends, when I was like here, I would throw a show and just have a roast around my birthday.
Mm.
So that's what we'll be going to do, man. You just let them go up. But guess who gets the mic last?
Come on, man. Talk to him.
Guess who gets it last?
So this is what I always wondered with like roast and stuff like that. Is there because some people are like, hey, I know what I'm here for. Like, let's go. Let's cook. Like, do what you do.
Yeah.
Is there an unspoken, all right, man, there's even though we roasting, there's still some things I'm not going to go.
Hey, man,
I ain't going to go there. But, like, I never knew it. Are people like, nope, go wherever you want to go. I know why I'm here.
I'm a nothing off limits person. But it's because I only put out in the world what I want people to know about me. Now, if they found some dirt or that I don't know about, oh, that's going to make things really interesting. And if it get really bad, the only thing left to do is fight. So, like, if it's like, yo, why do you know this? How did you get hold of this information? Then it's a brawl.
And the
words aren't strong enough at that point.
Right.
And Mike out here, so if there's a fight jumping off, he going to have a lot more people around him than whoever he's fighting. Yeah,
whoever is starting this, they're out of towners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
you home, bro. So, yeah, you good.
Yeah, so, no, that's exciting. But you're right, because the crowd doesn't all know that that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just coming for, you know, funny comedy, stand-up. So it's more like we're throwing it in, but they still will get the jokes I've been working on.
Yeah.
And I filmed a special last week for something called Dry Bar.
Okay.
So that's like a squeaky, clean, stand-up, half-hour network, you know, which is great. So I did that so I could get rid of all my clean material because I was doing it. I was just tired of it.
Because you did so much of it because of America's Got Talent.
Yeah, because of that, you know, and I write clean typically anyway. I just write stories and jokes, and it's not like about filth, but the good part is I got rid of all the clean stuff now, so now I'm only stuck with filth. So, you know, this particular weekend is just going to be everything moving forward, which is great because I don't want to do any of that.
Yeah.
Older stuff, which makes it exciting.
I'm filth flying filth.
real quick about the roast thing. It's always fascinated me. So I got a comedian.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, jump in.
Have you ever seen it go left?
Often. Often. Yeah, you've seen them. Man, we had one that I threw, and the comedians weren't necessarily getting me. They were getting each other. Because by the time they got to me, it was whack, man. They were just saying sweet and kind stuff. Like, nobody wants to hear that, right?
Yeah.
But amongst each other, they was going hard on each other. And then someone said something out of pocket that shouldn't have been said out loud about relationships with stuff in town. Even the people, like, you heard the back of the room, that's where the comedians stand, you heard them all go, oh, and that's when you knew, oh man, this slipped. This is like, hey, let me talk to you in the hallway.
I was about to say, was there a conversation about that
afterwards? It was something that happened Yes. Mm. Why does this? Can they hear me? This says this at the top.
No, you're, good. You're good. Yeah, you're good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you good.
Yeah. So I don't know if like anybody got thrown across a table or nothing, but I do know, yeah, as far as going left, I haven't even seen the dude that said that in years. Almost as if
they got him off the mat. Got him out the, I mean, I
wanna,
out the paint.
I want to just assume at that exact moment he moved. He relocated.
They got him out the paint.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. I'll ask about him. I'm seeing
you crossed the line.
Still lots exists. Of prayers wherever you at.
Yeah. All right.
Live to fight another day, bro. Live to fight another day.
I don't know if I could do a rose.
You mean like be the guest of honor and or say the mean stuff?
Both, to be honest with you.
Really?
Because there's some stuff where, like, even if it's like on par with what's going on, I still ain't gonna say it, man. It's cool. Like I don't need to laugh that much, man. Because I may say it and who knows, in that moment I might say it a different way where I ain't even gonna take the chance. It's cool.
Here's where I hear you at. I feel like you gotta be in it. If you're one of those people to do this, then do it. If you're not, because some people never forget. Some people have had stuff said to them that they are still rolling with to this day.
Yeah.
Because it hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? They hit them in a spot and they can't shake it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, you gotta be cut out for this. Like, I've heard very terrible things about myself. But I'm numb inside.
Well, anytime you perform in front of people, you kind of have to be numb.
Yeah.
We searched Reddit yesterday.
Oh,
we were like, oh, man.
Oh, no.
Oh, that was close.
You didn't read your comments, did
no,
you?
No, we read a couple of them.
No,
we did. So we did it as a bit, but it's like, all right, you got to recognize when you go on there and you look. You probably going to see something you don't want to see.
It's not something you want to do unless you are really prepared to do that.
Yeah, man.
Because look, it's 1,000 great ones. You only remember that one.
Yeah. Right.
You remember that one.
That stands out.
And now that's what their goal is. The commenters are taking over. Mm-hmm. The comment section, they're trying to be superstars. Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm one terrible comment away from being successful. They have nothing else going on. So they're just going around hating, trolling all through the internet, and that's what their purpose is in life, because nothing else is quite. That's my assumption. I think that's where that stems from. Is something's not right with you if all you're doing is looking to hate,
and they don't never have to answer to anything, so they just say whatever. Like, it don't matter. I ain't got to answer. I'm probably never gonna see this person. I'm not gonna have to say it to their face and deal with the. And then if it's somebody like famous. And you say it to their face, they're like, yeah, hit me so I can get paid. Like, they don't never have to, like, really deal with the things that they say to people.
It's worse, though, because you see these people in person, and they adapt you up.
It never happened. They just think,
oh, yeah, these are internet games. Right. Not like your heart was affected.
Right.
They really just like will be like, hey, what's up, man? These are like the same people that for years have come to shows and just like there's good hecklers and then there's ones that just came to ruin everything. Mm. And then they're like, hey, man, I helped the show, didn't I? I was like, no, we had content. We've done this before you. You know, so it's
I helped the show. If you don't get out of my face, what are you talking about?
And there's people to believe it. There's people to believe it, you know. But after this many years, I've seen it all. I've seen the heckler win. I've watched a lot through these years, you know. So, hey.
It's been 20 years now? How long?
At least.
Yeah, that's at least 20. Yeah.
That's insane. That's why, like, right now, it's not so much even thinking for me. It's like I just kind of know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I know how to write some stuff. I know how a joke is formatted. I know the foundation. How it's going to hit depends on the people in the room.
Yeah.
And so you just go there and deliver, and that's a thrill that you keep chasing.
Yeah.
I met this guy, man, when I was filming Dry Bar. I think he was like 70, right? And he had his face painted, and he had his hair. His hair was jet black. Man, I had never heard of this dude. But he was like, had a weird aura about himself. You know, he was just like, nothing matters. You know, I'm doing this as a favor. Like, he was above everything. He was like, yeah, I own the Tesla. It's the fastest one out. It just came out. It goes 275, you know? And I was like, who is this dude? And everybody was like, what's up with this weird dude? You know, like, what's going on with this? And then we were just talking, man, and he was telling me old stories about who he used to run with and smashing on the road, like all the fun stories, you know? And I was in it for that. I was like, oh, what else about that? So he kept sharing stuff, right? He was just name dropping just all around. I'm like, man, this dude, he go, man, who is he, right? And his energy was even like weird, right? And I'm like, and I was first. It was three of us filming on Dry Bar Specials. And I go up, man, I feel like, man, I annihilated. I did what I was supposed to do. Yeah. Had a girl behind me. She did really great. And I'm like, I can't wait to see what this dude does, man. Because I just knew how I was going to go for him.
Yeah.
This dude went up and smashed. he was so, like, he crushed the crowd.
Yeah.
And it looked like he wasn't even working. Mm. He told me, he was like, yeah, I'm not even sure what I'm going to do. I was like, oh, okay. And I'm like, people just say that because they try and be Jay-Z. You know what right. I mean? They're like, yeah, you know, I got all my lyrics in my head. No right. He went and did two different shows that he filmed because we do two of them. So I don't know if one goes a certain way. Filmed two different sets and just, I don't even know this guy's name. Never heard of him. Apparently, he'd been on cruise ships for like the last like 28 years or something like that. And he sings.
Oh, man.
Don't forget that part. Right. But I'm like, okay, but he helped me somehow. I think you run into these people for a purpose, you know? Mm-hmm. And he had everything he wanted in life. Like, financially, it was just everything. And it was just like, right, yeah. right, man. Like, we worry too much about everything. Yeah. We just, like, trying to be great. You go to L.A. because people want to be famous and you want to do all this. When it's just like, when you have the opportunity to just do what you do, mm-hmm. and you're able to do that, hey, man, just, hey, count the wins, man. Yeah, man. You know, celebrate the wins.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Real quick, just yeah. for you, there's one thing I'm stuck on. You said his face was painted, like a spray tan or like the Ultimate Warrior?
Buddy, you never moved on. From there. Nah, man, I think it's because... I don't know. People wear makeup.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he did
I got
it
you.
Himself.
He did. Well, yep. So all right. That could look like paint. Yep.
It was layers upon layers, man, where it was like.
It was caked on there.
Yeah, it was like a picture of Michael Myers' mask was his real face.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what it looked like. It looked like that was his actual face with the whole cutouts on his eyes. And I was like, oh, man, it's wild. It's wild. And his demeanor was very laid back. So yeah. I'm like, okay, you know, man, this dude, he not.
And just went out there and embodied
and
it.
And just knocked it out. That's I'm like, great. Man, I'm out here working too hard. I'm dancing. You know, I'm like writing punchlines in the car, you know, like, like, man, I'm working too hard.
You still get like butterflies before you go on stage? Mm.
No, I am past that.
Yeah?
You know, because listen, like, I know how it's going to go. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm having an off night, that happens too, but not so much the nerves. Like, I kind of like, I don't know. I don't think it's that hard anymore.
Yeah.
To be funny in front of people, like maybe the first like 12 years, you know, maybe then, cause you're like, all right, I hope I get it right. I hope I don't, you know, I hope, but I'm past the hope. Mm. I'm past that. I'm
just, is it like, more just excitement, like to do your thing? Like,
yeah, it really is. It's kind of like I want to introduce something different. I want to do something they haven't seen me done, you know, do before. Mm. You know, I want to write. I'm still chasing that joke. I'm still chasing that one joke right. where they're like, yo, that's the joke right there. Yeah.
Really? You don't think you've had it?
No, I got it now. I think okay. I got it now.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And it's close, but yeah. I think I got that joke that they leave, they talk about in the car. You know, yeah. and yeah, I've had a few, you know, it's over time. That's how it works. You know, I'm proud of like some of the stuff, but I think I got that one now.
What's,
you know?
So you think you got that one now. What's the one that you thought like, nah, I bodied that one?
Man, there's a lot of trust material. Like, I got this joke that I don't do because I don't know if I like how it changes the crowd's energy, right? But the premise was pretty much, like, my lady was always accusing me of stuff, you know, like, you know, I'm like, yo, you tripping, you know? And I'm like, nothing's happening. And I flipped out. And she's like, what, you want a trophy? I'm like, Yo, I mean, that was, imagine your homies come over, man. They like, bro, you got trophies? You like, man, that ain't nothing. Those is my Faithful Awards, you know? And he's like, bro, they everywhere. Look at this, 2021, 2022.
MVP.
2024.
You know? Yeah, no, come on. Come on, man. The numbers weren't up in 2023. The numbers weren't there.
Yes, man, we was in tough times. It's tough times.
So, we was just getting out of COVID. It was different.
So, hey, man.
Dallas was crazy, bro. I'm sorry. Dallas was crazy.
I mean, certain ones, man, I just – sometimes I don't want to go there in the crowd because you'll just take the energy somewhere else, especially – I see how nervous the crowd gets when I introduce Trust.
Nah, what you laughing for?
Yeah.
What's so damn funny?
You like that? They stopped holding hands. They was holding hands for the whole 30 minutes. Then the hands start to, you know, you see the body language shift. You're like, oh, man, people are.
Oh, you can relate, huh?
They They tuned into this one, right?
You can relate to 2023, huh? Oh, okay. Yeah,
those
things,
right.
That's a funny thing I don't think we, like, ever take into account is a joke, how it'll affect, like, the couples in the audience. like you can just feel the room go cold all of a sudden.
It wasn't that damn funny. Mm.
Oh, it's often. I know it's more than we even know. I know that these things lead to conversations in the car. And the way it goes, you know, the right thing to say is, I don't know what Mike was talking about. I don't know what he was talking about.
Hey, wow, man. Oof. Mike, that's a crazy boy right there.
Wow.
You guys take like survey of who's in the audience, right? Like, are you asked, like, you know, are there a lot of couples out there? They in the front? Like, do you guys do that?
There's comedians that do.
Like, I know some guys we used to know would be like, yeah, make sure there's at least one or two couples in the front because they have something that they want to.
I know
Willie would do that. Like, Willie Barcena would be, he would like, make sure there's a couple in sight that I could do something with.
Yeah, so he could play in the crowd with them. You know, I mean, as far as surveying, I kind of know who's coming to see me.
Mm.
And majority is a lot of older moms. Mm. So that's like been my crowd because I've solicited them for years. Just mom energy. And I'm still into it. It's nothing's changed. You know, I just like a mom that could work the snack bar. You know what I mean? Like, she can hand out the after the game work snacks and stuff bar. Like that. You know, to do the shopping, you know, just mom energy. You know, it's always been like, and that's who's coming the most. And then next, it's all the people from AGT. So I have a feeling of who I'm going to see in those audiences. Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily write for that. I kind of have to write with what I think is funny.
Is AGT older?
AGT is definitely.
Yeah.
And okay. I know this because when I was in Vegas and I had my residency, that is who was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't the 19-year-olds like, man, I got to check out AGT. Nah, man. They was, they were mature.
Seasoned a little bit.
Yeah.
That was something I was about to ask you, and I just lost my train of thought because that was funny.
Hey, come get roasted. Come on, man.
Come sit
on the stage, man. Hey.
So, like I said, I'm like, I say this all the time because, you know, we quote unquote public figure. We got the chatty house people, you know, on Twitter. You know, they'll say some stuff. We'll joke back and forth every now and then. And I always say, I'm just kind of a wild card. Like, some days I might play around and have fun, and some days may not be the day, and I might snap back on you. Take your chance if you want. It's just me. That's how I know it is. So with the roast, I don't know, man. Maybe if I'm in the mood and everything's funny, I'll be like, yeah, this is all funny. And if I had a bad day the day before, I woke up on the wrong side of bed, maybe it's not all funny. Hey, don't know.
There's guys out there that I believe are really talented roasters. Like, they've been doing it since the back of the bus in years, and I respect them and their talent. I wouldn't call myself that. I'm a writer. Like, if I can prepare, oh, it's good. If I know who's going to be there and then I can do the math and do everything, I'm good. If I got to just come off the cuff with, quote, like, I can do jokes. I can do jokes for days. But if you just talking about, like, roasting somebody, I'm going to, and if they're getting me, like, some lady got me, man. She got me, and she was like, something, yo, gabba, gabba. And, man, I was like, oh, I just lost. And I, there was no coming back from that. And if I was like, if I'm losing, I'm mean. Like, it's not going to be funny to nobody. You're going to tell them it came from a hurtful, mean place. And I'm going to say something that's just on some, yo, bro, you good? Like, where they got to come. Hey, man, just come over here, man. You know, because I want it to be funny, but I just know I'm not like, I have not mastered that skill to just come up like, boom, and hit them with something. The crowd's, ah! You know, I got my days. You know, we all got our times when, yeah, you know, it's good. But on average, if they getting me, like they getting me,
yeah,
man, what I'm going to say is just going to be dark. It's going to get
dark. Yeah, are comedians, you think comedians like in general are sensitive?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why after the thing, man, like they going and reading all the comments and they out there like, hey, thank you. How'd you think? You know, musicians aren't sitting out.
Oh, I never thought of that. Yeah.
You know, hey, thanks for coming. Oh, you enjoyed the show? Oh, great. That's awesome. Like, yo, get out of here, man. But I believe that. I believe all artists have a level of sensitivity.
Okay.
You've nurtured something, you've created something, and you put it out here. Mm. And you want people to love it at the end of the day. That's what it's about.
Right.
And when they don't, yes, you get in your feelings.
That's hilarious. I'm trying to picture the weekend outside SoFi Stadium. Like, hey, did you enjoy the show? Thanks for coming.
Hey, enjoyed it or not, that check cleared. So I'm great. That's what it's like. But to your point, though, I do think that's the case. And it's like... I empathize with it, right, to a certain degree, because I'm not an artist or a musician or anything else like that. But if I put together this body of work, this album or something like that, or a comedy show, and I put a lot of work into it, and I put it to the point where, me personally, I think this is quality. I think this is good. I put a lot of effort into it. And then 2 hours later, somebody, this is garbage. Oh, yo, chill. What you mean this is garbage? Like, And who are you to say it's garbage? Like, how are you going to tell me what I find acceptable for myself, my performance or my music or whatever, is no good?
That's their job. That's their job. I mean, we go to a museum and we're like, man, you looking at like an art museum. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, that's beautiful. Or it's not. Or you could be the person that's like, all right, if I don't like it, like I was taught, if you don't like something, don't say anything. But that's not, you know, that's not the current time. How are we going to know? You're going to know if everybody's bumping your music.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to like, okay, I did something right. You know, if everybody's coming to your show, okay, I did something right.
Mm-hmm.
So I accept that. But yeah, there's people out there and that's their job to let you know that they not feeling it.
Yeah.
But you know what happens too? Your supporters are jumping that same thread. Like, I guess you don't.
Right.
I guess you just don't get it.
Right.
That's probably
guess
more
you ain't sophisticated.
Went over your head. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember what I was going to ask you. Did you watch the SNL 50 joint?
Oh, no. I watched it on mute on the plane.
On mute?
Wait. Oh, no. You're not talking about the movie.
No. They had the...
The special over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. No. That just happened. All right, keep going.
No, I was just saying if you watched it. And then, like...
I will.
Are you like, does SNL, like, does it resonate with you? Or are you like, oh, that's not really.
Well, here's the thing.
It's not
I've
really
auditioned,
my thing.
I want to say like 6 times. I don't know why they keep bringing me back, but I think what's going to happen, man, like, I'm going to end up hosting it. That's where I'm at on my trajectory.
I see.
Things are in explosion mode, and I'm going to probably host it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in some sketches, and it'll go that way. As far as being a regular cast member, I would love it. Just because. I mean, I like New York, too. I get to live in New York. You know, that'd be fun, too, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, they reaching out or my agency submitting me, you know? But that's a skill set, too.
Yeah.
It's another skill set.
Yeah.
So, in the meantime, you just keep working. You keep working, and, like, when that door opens, I'm just going to run through that door, wherever door is there. I'm here for whatever's for me, you know? And, that's kind of how I've operated in life.
Yeah.
When things are for me, I'm there. And the things that like I'm chasing, it's like sometimes don't even waste that energy.
Right.
Go ahead and knock out like what works. What's going, you know, what's going to pay this mortgage?
You still into music?
I am, right? And so I got me a little, got my walkout song for the week. I was trying to figure out what that was going to be, you
know?
And this is what I really want. I want new artists. I want to love a new artist, you know, and it's hard because like I'm getting on the older thing where I only like maybe three guys.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm stuck with them and everything they do, you know, I support it. But I want something new. So I don't even count. I wouldn't even say he's so much the new guy, but I got my walkout song, right?
Who is it?
The walkout song is Cordae.
Right? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Right?
But he got this track called Saturday Morning, and I was imagining myself. You know how that manifestation stuff?
Yeah.
I imagined myself walking out to that with the energy because the tickets are selling, you know, like crazy. And I'm like, oh, man, that's just going to feel good.
Yeah.
It's just going to feel good coming out. And but why do you ask?
I was just wondering. Oh, yeah. I wasn't expecting you to say Cordae either. Like, I thought you was going to say TV Off or something like that, one of the Kendrick Lamar joints. I asked because you used to love music. We used to talk about music all the time.
I'm still heavy in music. And, you know, this whole the beep thing, that's like, man, that's fun, you know, that's interesting, that's all over the place. And this is what I'll say. I love them both as artists, you know, not to be a diplomatic person. Like, who wants to
do that, Mike? You can't do that.
No,
it's uncalled for.
I believe you. There's another individual in this room who's like, I love them both, but clearly hates one of them. I won't say which one it is.
Why?
But
it's me and Kendrick. Why do you think I hate Kendrick?
Bro, okay.
Why do you think I hate
Kendrick? We got company. You really would. Because you didn't say one good thing about Kendrick the entire conversation, the entire summer.
Because I didn't love it as much as you did. That's why you're saying that. Because how many times did I talk about how dope Euphoria was?
Bro, you called Euphoria a warning shot. You're like, oh, that was a cute little warning shot.
That's all that happened?
And then I
came back and I was like, nah, this is fire. This is dope. And every time it's brought up, I'd be like, no, Euphoria, I told you.
Euphoria, remember, the best song.
I told you like 2 months ago, I was working out. Euphoria came on. I got hyped and all this stuff. See, but because I don't I'm not going crazy about it, they're like, oh, you don't like them. Like, no, like, it's dope. Like, I think it's dope. I think Family Matters was dope. But they don't like when you say that.
So this is what I would say. You know, like, what does not liking someone even mean? Okay. So are you bumping this person every once in a while or not? See, that's my question I want to ask people. Before the beef, were they bumping either one of them? I feel like there's more people right now with Drake on their playlist. I mean, that's what the numbers would say overall. And I think Kendrick comes out and then boom, just maybe the greatest song of all time. And then that's still riding. Now, is he still in the rotation? You know, or is boom, the beef ends and then people resume to regularly scheduled programming, which is whatever they were.
Well, that's what Kendrick did. He exploded with the stuff with Drake and then dropped GNX, but didn't have anything to do with Drake and became the number one album. And then it, you know, parlayed in the Super Bowl and now they got the tour. So he's the biggest artist in the game right now. Drake's doing his thing, but he's doing it overseas. He just dropped the R&B album and it's. If you like Drake, you love it. Like that, I think Drake is a. But both guys probably to a certain degree are polarizing in a way. Like you asked, like before, like Kendrick's my favorite rapper. Kendrick was my favorite rapper a year ago. He's my favorite rapper today. Drake, I don't like him. Like I just don't like the music that he makes. I can pull songs from Drake that I like. Like I like this song. I like this song. But like his overall projects, most of them I don't like. Like that didn't. That's not because of Kendrick. That's not because of. The album with Party Next Door, that's just like that he has a sound that doesn't appeal to me. Is a sound I feel like appeals to somebody
two
else.
Two questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first question is, what do you like most, or what do you like about Kendrick?
I like the way he raps. I like his storytelling. I like that most of his music has to do with something. They're not just words.
Okay, no, I appreciate that. But there are rappers with words that I just like. Like, you know, my favorite rapper is Wayne. And pretty much all he's talking about is one thing. And I love that one thing. Okay. So this is the second question. Second question would be, who do you think you relate to more?
I mean, if I, I don't relate to either one of them. Okay. Your question is, who do I relate to more? Well, for obvious reasons, it's probably Drake.
Yeah, right. I see it.
Outside of that, Drake, the answer, I'm going to answer your question, is probably Drake. Like, Kendrick raps about subject matter that just is not a part of my life, and it never has been. You know, Drake raps about women in a way, like, that's not a part of my life either. But if I had to pick one, the fact is, it probably is Drake.
Right. And I think there's that's the connection. That right there is why he will probably always be played more, because I feel like more people relate. Even though there's artists like, let's just say Jay-Z, right? I can't relate to having $1 billion, but I can see it. Mm-hmm. There's a piece of me that can see it. And there's stuff in both of them and all of them that make them all amazing, but there's just certain things when you just relate to it in a way, or you connect through some lyrics, that I feel like makes pop stars often more popular.
But the thing that I feel, and that I think gets lost in music discussions and especially in hip hop, is I don't feel one way all the time. If I'm want to be educated and I want to be inspired, you know, by my people and my lineage, maybe I want to hear Kendrick in To Pimp a Butterfly, or you know, the Good Kid, Mad City, or whatever. But if I'm with my lady, and you know, I'll throw on Four Bats and Drake and want to hear that. Or, you know, if I'm trying to figure out like how we get this thing going here at ESPN 1320, and I feel like I'm a hustler, I'm gonna throw on Jeezy. Like we don't have to relate to one person all the time and not like the other person. You can not like them because you don't like their music or it doesn't appeal to you. That's cool. But like Kendrick and Drake, like, I listen to both of them and I like them both for different reasons.
What if that was the rule, though? What if whoever lost the beef, you had to throw away all their music? Hey, man, that would really amp up beefs, man. Like, if they lose,
you got to leave town.
You know, you got to delete it all.
But see, that's the thing. Like, everyone in this room thinks Kendrick won that, right?
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Okay, there are a lot of people that don't, though. There are a lot of people that don't think Kendrick won that. So it becomes like, how do you determine? And that was the thing, like, how do you determine a winner in this? Like, I feel like if you're I don't think you're not one of them goofy Drake fans like academics and the rest of them dudes, like, who will swear to God that this went exactly as they planned. Mm-hmm. But like, you can't convince them that Drake lost. And then there's Kendrick, like Jason Jones. You can't convince Jason Jones Kendrick lost.
Right.
And I don't know how you would determine. I don't know how you determine a winner or loser.
This is
in
how.
This.
Okay.
Other than not like us playing for a year straight.
That too. But go back to the roast. You got two guys just going at each other back and forth, back and forth. Then one gets one so good, the whole crowd is like, ah. And then what does the other one? He has nothing to say. That is currently where we're at. Mm. We're currently with the other guy saying, I mean, forget beef. I just want to make beats in the clubs.
but I think there's more to it than that, too. It's not just the joke itself. It's the delivery of the joke, because the killer was Meet the Grams. Meet the Grams was not the best song that dropped in all of this. But because it dropped 10 minutes after Drake's big bombshell, he buried him. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, Not Like Us drops, and it's like, it's over. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
that's sophisticated.
You know, the plays that were ran were crazy. The plays that were ran, I mean, he executed like, to perfection. But like, you would have people, and I don't. Once again, I don't know how you determine winner or loser in this situation. But the people, I look at it as Kendrick had the biggest record. You know, the whole thing, and you talk about it that way, that would give him the win. There are people who look at it and say, bar for bar, Drake went crazy. And Drake got him. You know what I'm saying? Like that, I'm not saying I necessarily believe that, but I do think Drake's bars were, in Push-Ups and in Family Matters, were insane. Like he did his thing. And that was always my approach to the whole thing. You asked me point blank. He's like, before all that happened, who you think's going to win? I'm like, it's a rap beef. Like, who's going to beat Kendrick Lamar in a rap beef? You can't. Like, he's a wordsmith. But what I did say is, and you and other people didn't think it would happen, I said, I think Drake gonna show up, though. Like, I think he's gonna show up with some heat. And he did that. He's dealt with Family Matters. And then
Kendrick. But that's the thing. Like, Family Matters was buried. Like, Family Matters didn't live for an entire day.
But it depends, right? Like, it depends on what, because I still hear Family Matters. It still comes up on my curation list, just like Euphoria does, right? So, like, if you want, you're the consumer, not you specifically, but if you want to bury it, you can. Mm. It's there for you if you want to listen to it. It's there for you if you want to take it and be like, hey, this was actually pretty good. It's up to you if you want to listen to it or not. If you don't ever want to hear it, then yeah, it's dead and gone.
That's why I think it's good to analyze rap beef maybe a year later.
Mm.
Go back to it without all the noise, without all the stuff around it, and then go. But make sure everything is in order and see when it was delivered, you know. And then it's important. You can remember the feeling of the times because mm-hmm. we talked about this. I think we talked about this. It's like when you go back to the Nas and Jay-Z beef back in the day, back in the you know, I remember who won as far as the energy of the people. But then when I go back to Jay's bars too, I'm like, it wasn't like it was bad. That was Takeover. Incredible.
Crazy.
It's just as far as selecting the winner, who had the streets? And Nas had the streets, and I think that's what Kendrick has now.
Or I think there's also
who wants to see how many, like, what does the public want? I think at that time, Jay was one of the hottest rappers out, and there was a group. It's not everybody, but there was a group that wanted to see him be humbled or lose, and Nas provided that. And I think that's for some people, not the whole. Some people had that same feeling with Drake here. They were tired. He'd been on the game, top of the game for 15, almost 20 years. They want to, and he talks crazy, you know, talks with bravado. They want to see him humbled. They want to see him lose. And I think for some people, there was an element of, I just want to see him out the paint.
I feel like that might have been the number one reason. I feel like that more than anything. I feel like before this even started, right when it was at the brink of about to start, that's what they all, like, that's what people wanted. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who these particular people are, but they're the ones that put a lot of energy to Kendrick. And Kendrick pulled his weight. Like, there's no question he pulled his weight. But I felt like Drake was in a hole before he even started to be.
Well, Drake was already polarizing, though. Like, the situation with Kendrick Lamar didn't make Drake polarizing. Like, he had been that. He's soft. He sings. He's not a rapper. He's this. That had been going on for, what'd you say, 15 years, 10 years. That's been a conversation surrounding Drake forever. So I feel like people already had their opinions on Drake. He's not a rapper. He's a singer. He's this and that. That's been going on long before this Kendrick thing happened. It's just they found someone to throw their weight behind. That, and, you know, with all due respect to Pusha T, Pusha commercial-wise isn't Kendrick. Kendrick's that's a Grammy Award winning artist. That is a significantly more mainstream artist than Pusha T is. Again, it's not a conversation about their words or their battles or the way that they rap or the way that they could come at somebody. It's who is that going to appeal to? Pusha T is not on the radio. Kendrick has been. Kendrick's catalog is on the radio. And it was people who maybe felt a certain way about Drake. They were able to throw their feelings behind someone like, yeah, get him. Yeah, get him. I'm tired of him. Get him.
And those same things that people hate are the same things people love. The fact that he sings, you know,
that's right? Like, yeah, that's why he's on the radio the way that he is.
Yeah. So those things are. Right.
I did find out that, and it makes it a little, I don't know, a little bit more funnier to me. But the DeRozan thing, somebody threw that on stage. Did you see that?
Somebody threw the jersey
somebody
on
threw
stage.
The jersey at him.
Well, I'm just glad we finally got a different view of it.
I didn't see a view. I just heard the story like how that transpired. Now, whether that person was a prop or what, I don't know. But somebody threw it at him. He didn't know what it was. And then that whole thing that you saw allegedly was organic.
I'll call it a little cap. I could be wrong. In the video, he's walking around with it in his hand.
Yeah, he had caught it, and then he saw it, and then when he opened it up, he saw what it was.
Okay.
Or maybe he knew what it was when it was thrown at him.
Well, I thought the Kings did a good job.
That was good.
They put shout the out guy to my below,
man Kenny, man. Yeah,
caught the, Kenny. Caught, yeah, the yeah. caught the jersey and was like, oh, throws it over his shoulder, keeps it moving.
I thought that clip was
I think there's an element, too. Funny. I think there's an element to burying yourself, because you mentioned Jay-Z, and KC and I talk about this in our previous discussions. The Heart Part 6 that Drake dropped was terrible. Like, it was he buried himself in that song. Jay did the same thing with Super Ugly.
Mm.
Super Ugly was so bad. It was like, tough. Fam, that's not even you. Like, why are you doing this? And that was like, all right. It's like, you know, you got knocked out, and you got back up, and then you punched yourself in the face.
That can happen. That can happen when you... It just can happen. I don't know all the reasons, but it can definitely happen. And you know what? All this stuff is like, it's not even real, man. Like, the big three, who decided that? You know, so then they all ran with that. And I feel like every year or every often, something is pushed and we just believe it. Like, really? You telling me chickens really ran out of eggs? Do you really believe that that happened? They want us to believe that. Chickens are out of eggs. And look, here's the thing. All you egg eater people, man, like, y'all really getting on my nerves, too. Because y'all been hating on vegans for all your life. And now you eating
not so
the just
funny
egg.
Now, huh? Yeah.
Now they all up in the liquid just egg, frying it in the house, probably talking bad about it. But now, oh, because you don't got no eggs? Now you jumping all into the vegan egg stuff? Man, get out of here. Don't even say nothing to me. If you now they done raised the just egg
price. Just egg price went up, yep.
It's crazy. Over $10 for that little carton?
That's no, crazy.
That's crazy.
$10 for fake eggs is that's wild. Eggs. We don't even know what's in it.
We don't.
No idea what's in it. They just put just egg on it. We're like, all right,
whatever.
We'll take it.
Yo, man, that's sleazy that you would pick up that box and walk it to the front counter and ring it up because they don't have a dozen of your $30 a dozen eggs. How dare you?
Too, man. I'm hurt by that. I love me some eggs, too. Damn.
PunchlineSack.com. You can get the tickets. Mikey tonight. Two shows tonight, 7 o'clock and 9:15. Two shows on Saturday, 7 o'clock and 9:15. And then the show on Sunday. We're celebrating, which I don't know why it's not in my calendar. That's me. I'm a double check before I ask a question. I'm a regret. Yeah, it's not in my calendar. What day is your birthday?
Oh, Sunday, 23rd.
Okay.
23rd okay. is Pisces season.
I was about to say, that's the start of a new season, ain't it? Or is it the 22nd?
It's the very beginning. So I think I'm 2 days into to Pisces season. Yeah.
I don't know nothing about Pisces.
Right.
I know about Aquarius. I don't know nothing about Pisces.
Why? Are you Aquarius?
No, my wife and my mom are.
Okay, yeah. Is that your compatibility sign? I clearly been talking to too many women because I know my, I know my two.
Yeah, it is.
Good answer.
Yeah, it'd be wrong later. Yeah,
yeah, right,
yeah.
Right, you're right. Yeah. You're
Kenny
right.
ain't getting no trophies at the house, man. Punchlinesack.com. Again, if you want to get tickets to see Mike, we appreciate you, brother. You know you always got a home.
Hey, man, I appreciate y'all, man. Always. You know it.
All right, more with D-Lo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. What is with Manny and Michigan Wolverines anyways?
I don't know, man. What they call him, old man, and the other one call him Canelo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, we were talking about Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm.
It's a true story. No one will believe that. That's actually true. We were.
And I'm looking forward to the season, actually, too, with the A's. And then my Giants are back. We got that dark cloud out of there. And now we got Buster Posey doing his thing. And I'm looking forward to what they got, man. Justin Verlander, Helio Ramos. Come on, man.
Much like every other year, I don't care.
Verlander is like 42.
However,
Ramos took him deep in the other day.
I'm excited for baseball in Sacramento.
Absolutely.
That's when I'm excited for what it means for the city. I don't care about Major League Baseball, though.
Absolutely. But did you see the news yesterday that ESPN is out of the Major League Baseball business?
Yeah, I did.
Man, it's probably been, about 30 years or something like that?
It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
I feel like they've been off and on, though, no?
That Sunday Night Baseball.
So Sunday Night Baseball been a staple. Yeah, you're right.
But in recent years, like in the last, 5 years, ESPN, they've been treating the MLB like garbage. Mm-hmm.
That's what MLB says, too. That's why they're gone.
Pretty much.
They're right about that. I think you could do more. Like, especially in the summertime when it's really popping off, like, you can show more baseball games. Like, you can have baseball tonight instead of another get up. or something like that, or on Get Up.
Something
like
hosted by Greeny.
So, like, you, they could have done more. Especially, like I said, if we're supposed to be partners, like, you could have done a little bit more. We don't, oh, the ratings might say different, but we don't need 2 hours of NFL Live in June.
Like, well, put and that's where
put Baseball Tonight on there.
And that, but that's the thing. That's where ratings might say something different. Like, we talk very regularly about how baseball is so regional. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just like I don't love baseball, but like most, I don't think most people do. Mm. And part of that is we don't have anything to latch onto. Now, we have talked, and like, I don't know how that's going to change in a month or two. Mm-hmm. I don't know how this show changes. Like, there are different stories now, and I don't know if it's necessarily what the A's of Sacramento are doing, but it could be, yo, the Dodgers are here. I don't know if they're here this year, but the Yankees are here. You know, the Astros are here. Like, the Astros are in Sacramento. Like, we got Astros and A's today. Like, that to me is what we're talking about. Or, yo, the park was buzzing last night, man. And like, there's a variety of different angles that you could take with this, but I don't know that it's actually what's happening on the field. Mm. And unless, of course, this winds up being a really good team, then like the better team they become, the bigger story it becomes in the city. But baseball is so regional that airing it on ESPN, like, I know it annoys me. I think it annoys all of us, like the Lakers and Cowboys in football. Mm-hmm. It's what sells for them. Like, they're talking to a significantly broader audience than, you know, Kings fans in Sacramento or Giants and 49ers and Warriors fans in San Francisco. Like, they're talking to a bigger audience in that regard, and that's why they program stuff the way that they do. And, you know, baseball may have just kind of been something. But there's also a certain what do you call it? Manifesting reality here, right, where we're not pulling numbers here. They used to do this with women's basketball all the time. We're not pulling numbers with this stuff. Okay. Pat Summitt was going to win, I think it was her 1,000th game. Or it was a record. It was some monumental game. Mm-hmm. They promoted it for a week. Dick Vitale on there. Mike Krzyzewski on it. They built it up for a week, and guess what happened?
Great ratings.
People tuned in. Yeah. So do you throw the monster that you've created in ESPN behind the promotion of your Major League Baseball package, or do you manifest what you've been saying in these meetings probably for years and just let it die? Mm-hmm. And clearly they just let it die, because it doesn't sound like they fought Major League Baseball on the decision to separate from their broadcasting agreement.
It's interesting to see. I wonder who's going to pick it up, man, or pick up the slack. I know Fox and FS1, they are doing things. I don't know if maybe they get more opportunities. It would be great for them. I would, if I was, like I said, I don't know the money and all this other stuff, but, man, I think it'd be great for Netflix, because Netflix, I was reading another article where Netflix,
well,
they said Netflix is looking, after saying they wouldn't, they're now looking at NFL again.
Yeah, they're apparently, they're trying to buy that what is Troy always, the America's Game of the Week, mm-hmm, the basically the afternoon game, they're trying to buy that.
Crazy.
But does Apple still have the thing?
I don't know. I know you,
because
watch,
if they do,
you watch Apple, that's they, I wouldn't go to Apple. Now, I mean, if they're paying you, they're paying you. But MLS is kind of, you know, MLS starts this weekend?
No.
Nobody does. Like, it's just, or at the very least, I wouldn't be exclusively on Apple.
If MLS was on Netflix, I still wouldn't know that.
They're nobody has ESPN, ever known you'd that see, the MLS
see something.
Started.
Well, yeah, that's ESPN, though.
That's what I'm saying. You need one of those, though. I still think you need one of those.
What'd you say, Jesse?
I was going to say, nobody has ever known that the MLS is starting.
That, right. Like, I agree with
what's
you.
His name came not obviously Messi's. He's in New York. I know that. But
he's in Miami.
What was Zlatan?
Was Zlatan?
Yeah. He came to MLS, that was a big opening day. I remember that.
When was he in MLS?
There you go.
What?
That answers that.
Now Messi was Miami. That was a huge.
Obviously, that was bigger. But that was massive. Zoltan, I remember when Zoltan, because he played four.
All I remember was Zoltan's really bizarre interviews. That dude's just weird.
That was the first time I had heard of him.
Me too.
When he debuted in MLS.
I heard the lead-in. I assume it was the lead-in. I just remember he was giving a bunch of interviews. It was like, this dude is crazy. He sounded like a pro wrestler.
But yeah.
Didn't he speak in the third person?
Probably sometimes does that, yeah.
I don't know. That's his bag.
Zoltan wants MLS on Apple TV.
But Netflix, they said they like you read too, they going after the NFL. Yeah. But I say, because one of the reasons why I guess they've reversed course is they've seen a lot of success with live TV between the boxing and Raw. And before they were like, nah, we're not really interested in live sports, but they've seen those two things pop off. And they're like, oh, maybe we can get in the NFL.
Get prepared.
I think this should happen.
Get prepared. Because I think, what are we up to, like $25 now? They
just did
it.
Because I saw the email. They were like, oh, we got information.
They just sent the email. I don't know if it's gone into effect yet. But, yeah, it's up to like $25. Mm. Didn't it used to be like $9?
Mm-hmm. $9.99.
Yeah, now it's $25.
Yeah.
Yeah, let them add the NFL package or the NFL Sunday package. Or like we're gonna wind up paying $40 to watch like two live things on Netflix every week. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't even watch Raw. Man, I need to delete that app. I need to hey, your boy's back.
Oh, yeah.
Your boy's back tonight.
Who's Cesaro? Oh, no. Yeah. And then he was talking tough, too.
Yeah,
like,
boy,
I don't. I'm
your
not
boy Dwayne is back.
It.
Come on, man.
I'm going to watch, but.
Yo, what's crazy is we got two, and I like them, too. I'm not trying to, but two people that loved The Rock when the show started, and they hate him.
Yeah, no, like, The Rock is, like, my favorite. No. Like, it broke my heart.
First of all, The Rock is dead. That man's name is Dwayne.
Dwayne Johnson.
Until further notice. Like, the man's name is Dwayne.
Broke my heart. I was, like, 8 years old, 7 years old or whatever, and Goldberg's kicking his ass. But now I'd like for that to happen now.
I got this, man. I got this.
What was the quote he said? He's coming to stir things up or something like that.
Oh, bro, why don't you sit your ass down? You blew up every storyline you had. Back on the first episode of Raw, no one's tuned into that crap since then. And now you're coming back talking about, I'm going to stir things up. What are you going to do? Just pretend like you didn't hug Cody Rhodes in front of 6 million people? Pretend like you didn't put that thing over Roman Reigns' neck in front of everybody?
Then
get your stupid ass out of here.
That's all the rumor is he might challenge Roman for next year, though.
Next year?
I saw that a few times.
Come on, man.
And
he's getting a little too old for this, too. Ain't no spring chicken.
He's going to be 60 years old out here fighting Roman Reigns, man. Sit down. Go film Hercules Part 2 or something.
The new Scorpion King.
Oh, man. The Rock sucks. I have this. Once upon a time, I had this amazing custom frame thing where it was like my Mount Rushmore of like, I got a picture of the first time I met Hulk Hogan, me and him in Las Vegas. I brought it with me because I knew he was going to be in Miami. He signed it for me. I got the first time I met The Rock signed on this WrestleMania sheet. Stone Cold Steve Austin signed on the same exact page. And then I got this long poster like promoting SmackDown at Arco Arena. Mm-hmm. John Cena came in my early days at KSFM. We talked about hip hop for 35 minutes. He signed this picture. I sent him out to get jerseys from my jersey guy. And now John Cena's the only one I like.
John's the GOAT.
Everybody else sucks.
Yeah.
And I just got John Cena right here.
Shout out John. Never failed my generation.
I'm gonna tear that frame apart and just frame John Cena's poster.
I don't know. You say that a little too loosely. He might be the GOAT, but I think you dismissed Stone Cold, Jesse.
3 years was fine.
It was like three and a half.
Yeah, three and a half years was fine. He took his ball and went home.
It was one of the greatest, though.
Well, I think he retired because of his neck. I don't think he
took Brock Lesnar, he left because of that, right?
Well, no, but he came back after that.
Yeah, that was a fake.
Well, no, it was. It's true. He did leave, and then he came back for like 2 months, and then he was retired.
Yeah, he lost to The Rock, and that was it.
That was it. That's right. Well, he beat Eric Bischoff, too.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Eric Bischoff.
It's true, he did.
Karate Kid, Eric Bischoff.
That's right. Yeah, I saw that and was sick. I was like, all right, Dwayne's back. Get this on, garbage out. I swear if he challenges somebody for WrestleMania.
Bro, you suck. Why are you around? Why are you around?
He's overplayed at this point. He doesn't know his, like, he's too old for this. Like, he doesn't fit anymore.
Well, no, this would all be fine if you didn't bury everything a month and a half ago.
He keeps running the same play, though. Like, ever since he came back the first time, like, 10 years ago, it's the same play every time. Like, now it sucks. Like, go home, bro. Like, this was cool 10 years ago. Now
the last person who said they were never going to leave, we ran their ass out of town, too.
Bro.
All right.
Yeah, we got that speech. And 2 weeks later, you were gone again.
All right, we'll come back. We're catching up because we went like 45 minutes with Mikey Moonfield. Shout out to Mike to come and hang out with us for so long. We got Eddie Gonzalez coming up in about 15 minutes. We got Kings basketball tonight. Stilo McKay halfway through here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.